Hey gang, I'm here to tell you about the Sims Foundation. They can be found online at simsfoundation.org. Sims provides access to mental health and addiction recovery services for Austin area musicians and their family members. If you're a musician suffering from depression, anxiety, relationship issues, trauma, anger, substance abuse, or other serious mental health issues, they can help you. They help me. Call the Sims Confidential Client Line today at 512-494-1007 or find them at simsfoundation.org.
And you may ask yourself, well, how did I get here?
It's time for How Did I Get Here?
I'm Johnny, I'm your host. Welcome to the show. I hope that you all had a great 4th of July weekend. I have a great show for you guys today, as you're probably dragging your asses back to work or hitting the trail after eating too many hot dogs at the barbecues, maybe too many hamburgers. I have singer-songwriter Jane Ellen Bryant here today. She has a new EP coming out this Friday, July 8th, and an EP release show at Lambert's this Friday, July 8th. The EP is called 20s. She's got a song out called 20s. She's got a video for that song, which you can find at janeellenbryant.com. Fantastic video. Fantastic song. Great EP. I think that she really nailed it on the head with this song. You know, she's young. She hit that, you know, like when you discover who you are in your 20s and you have freedom and you start figuring out, you're like, oh yeah, you get a sense of yourself. You kind of know what you're going for. She nailed that with this song. With this EP, with this video, that vibe, you know, your first taste of like wisdom, you know, you're starting to lose a little bit of your innocence, but you have enough innocence to still truly have a good time, to truly let go and have fun and be in your 20s, in the moment, in the place. She nailed that. She totally did. We have a great conversation. She's a brilliant artist. She came up in this Austin music system. She started out at the Austin School of Music. She was taught by my friend Johnny Vogelsang, who's on a very early show, very early episode. I think in the first 10 episodes he was on. And she came up through there. Dave Seabury, who runs that place. And Dave Seabury and I talked earlier this year. He's got a band, Big Cat, with Malford Milligan, and they were on the show, and we had a talk about that school, and he told me a story about getting to watch Max Frost and Jane Ellen Bryant on the big stage at the ACL Moody Theater singing this song with Ian Moore, which Jane talks about doing as well, and what a pivotal point that was for her. So she came up like in the system of the Austin music scene. She's born and raised here. She knows all the musicians. Now we know each other. You know, I came up through it too. I just played with my mentor, the guy I've known since I was 13 years old, Mark Hallman, who got me in this business, who got me into music and got me, you know, going on a path that I wasn't quite, I didn't quite know was in front of me. And he opened up those doors. We just played Saturday night together. He jumped up and played drums on a couple songs with me. So hopefully she will have those experiences with her mentors and she will find people that she will mentor herself, and she will have those experiences on the other side. So what a great person, Jane Ellen Bryant. Amazing EP produced by the great Frenchie Smith, 20s. Comes out Friday, July 8th. Pick it up. If you're in Austin, go to her release show at Lambert's, which also features our dear friend Emily Bell will be playing there. So, yeah, and go see the video for 20s. Great video. Jane is a great songwriter. She's an amazing singer with a great big voice. Go to janeellenbryant.com. Find out if she's coming to a town near you and to see her 20s video and figure out how to get her album, her EP, sorry, 20s. Okay? We'll be talking to Jane in just a second. Let me tell you what's going on with me. As I said, I played on Saturday night at the Townsend for their one-year anniversary. I was off from Skyrocket this weekend, so when I was asked to do it last week, I was like, yeah, hell yeah, I'll do it. Got up and played some songs with the Bluebonnets and Steven Weisbird on drums. Got to play with my mentor, Mark Hallman, and also my dear old friend, Nathan Harlan from The Big Fix, formerly from Endosheen. We were in Endosheen together like 12 or 13 years ago. Great time. I had a great time playing that show. But yesterday, Sunday, I did not feel great. And today I'm feeling a little bit better. So I'm going to do some stuff Maybe go see some fireworks tonight. Enjoy the 4th of July as I'm doing this intro on the 4th of July. Okay? Listen, if you're in San Antonio on Friday, July 8th, Skyrocket will be playing at Sam's Burger Joint Music Hall. Come on out. It's always a great time. Look them up or go to skyrockettheband.com. Click on some links. Go to the page and come on out. It's always a great time. That's a great venue for music, and we always have great shows there. The crowd is great, and come on out and be a part of that. If you are not in San Antonio and you are in Austin on Friday, July 8th, don't forget to go to Jane Ellen Bryant's EP release show for her EP 20s. It's a great EP produced by Frenchie Smith. She's playing at Lambert's Friday, July 8th. Look it up. Go there. See her. The great Emily Bell is opening for her. Jane and I have a great conversation. It's great getting to know her, great getting to hear her story. And it's inspiring to know that this scene keeps on bringing up new people. And then they get taught by other people. And then they share their experience and wisdom with people who are younger than them. Jane is a great example of that. And she's a great artist. And her EP 20s is a reflection of what a great artist she is, being able to express this time of her life in song, okay? So enjoy my conversation with the great Jane Ellen Bryant. Have a great day. Let's get down.
Woke up with an ache, knowing you're gonna be late. You got that feeling of dread. You're in the wrong bed. Too many shots, and you somehow forgot. It was just a Tuesday night. Your boss on the phone, she's using her cutting down tone.
Stepping on microphones. Where did you go while you were in, were you in Paris?
Yes, okay. Just in Paris.
That's a good place. You spent a week there?
About 5 days. Yeah. So we did, you know, all the museums. We were so lucky because I don't know if you heard about all the flooding and everything, but they like closed the Louvre and the Impressionist Museum and everything.
Oh yeah, because that's all underground.
Yeah. So they had to move all the artwork up to a higher floor or whatever. But we were in the Louvre like the day before it closed. So
that's good.
Yeah, we still got to see everything. But and we did a champagne tour, so that was kind of getting out of town a little bit, and that was really really neat to see the countryside. And I was an idiot and didn't know that champagne like only comes from the champagne region.
I thought
you know, you could have a champagne kind of winery Spicewood, Texas, but no, you can't. So that was really neat to see. But
yeah, did you get to see the Mona Lisa?
I did, and that was kind of miserable because I don't have you seen it?
Yeah.
Like, people were, like,
crying. Yeah. I was crying when I saw, I was standing, I don't know if it's still in the same place, but you could stand next to the Venus de Milo and look into the room where the Mona Lisa was.
It's not the same anymore.
Okay, well, I remember doing that and just, like, it felt gross.
Yeah. It was, like, people were physically, like, fighting each other to get closer and get selfies and get, like, just, I mean, it was just, it was weird. It was not enjoyable. Like, not, you're not gonna get to like stare at the Mona Lisa and ponder, you know,
while she's making that face,
right? Like, I barely got to see it because there was just people like elbowing me, like, you know, it was weird, but and very stressful. That part of the Louvre was actually, the Louvre in general is pretty stressful. But
so you made a great EP. Does it come out July 8th?
It does.
Okay, yeah, just making sure.
Release show is at Lambert's on that
on
night.
July.
Yes.
Who else is on the bill that night?
Emily Bell.
Oh, she's one of my favorites.
Yeah, I'm excited to play with her. I never have. And Eric Burton, who I've never seen, but I hear that he's awesome.
Yeah.
So it'll be a fun night.
So this is your second release?
It's actually technically my third. The first album has disappeared from the internet.
Yeah, I noticed.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't find it. So
yeah.
You did a good job of making that disappear.
Yes,
if you
purposely
were trying to do that.
Yeah. It was just like a weird combination. I mean, I had done it partially in Nashville and Austin, and I was so young that I didn't really know what I wanted yet. And so other people sort of had too much of a say in it, and I ended up not being that happy with it, but released it because I felt like I had spent so much time on it that I had to. And but then my second album, called Hourglass, I did in Nashville, and I knew more what I wanted at that point, and I'm, you know, more happy with how that turned out. But it's been a while since I've released music, and I feel like I've really come a long way since both of those projects. So this feels like the first big thing.
This EP is a big step
yes.
from that.
Yes, big step. that was more, way more of like an Americana kind of direction.
What was, you were born and raised in Austin.
Yes.
And you came up in this music scene. You're a product of this.
I would say so. Yeah. I really didn't start playing out though until I was in college, and I went to college at Belmont University in Nashville, but I would come back.
Okay. So that's why you did the Nashville thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I would come back for like spring break or, which was conveniently during South by or the summers or whatever, summer, Christmas, and play as much as I could, in town. And so I really was actually investing more in the Austin market than I was Nashville, because Nashville was just like where I went to school and learned and whatever. So,
what'd you study in school?
Voice.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You got a great voice, man.
Thank you.
I can't believe that huge voice comes out of such a tiny little person.
Well, thanks.
It's pretty amazing.
Studied voice and then did like a little emphasis minor thing in music business. So it was a great place to be in the center of it all, you know?
Yeah.
So.
Did you do any internships for your music business?
I did.
Yeah?
Where'd
you?
I was an intern for Q Prime Management.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. They did like the Black Keys and Eric Church and Nickel Creek. And
in their Nashville office?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, they have like London and New York too, I think. But I was at the Nashville one, which was like a tiny little house in East Nashville. And it was pretty cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
What did you do as an intern there? Did you?
Not as much as I had hoped for. But I learned a lot of things on the computer, like different tracking programs and things that I couldn't like recall now. But at the time, I was just kind of in charge of like checking each artist's Facebook every day and make sure no one posted porn to it, and running random errands and, you know, documenting things. So,
oh, like someone didn't post like porn ads on their
their like, you know, music pages or whatever, so they have someone constantly looking so that if something happens they can quickly delete it. But I also flooded their kitchen by putting soap in the dishwasher, and that was humiliating. So
I'm
not sure what they
you mean like the squeezy soap that you
yeah. It's horrifying. I just like
that's
my
like that's like that happens on sitcoms.
No,
like in
like
the 50s
it happened to me for sure. Yeah, I was like back in the office and I heard Jane, and I like ran in the kitchen and like it looked like something out of a movie, like just massive piles of bubbles like floating all over the floor and coming, you know, and the entire office was like on their hands and knees like scooping up bubbles. And yeah, good times.
You can't get good help anymore. You just can't get good help anymore.
Yeah.
Ever.
So.
Okay. So you're born and raised here.
Yeah.
Are your parents in music?
No. My parents are lawyers.
Wow.
Yeah. So I.
What kind of lawyers?
My mom does family law, so she does like divorce and custody things, and my dad does real estate. That's as much as I know.
They still together?
Yes. They.
That's
are.
Awesome.
Very happy. I sure know how to like argue, you know, because like for every point they make, it's like 5 sub points behind each one, you know.
Oh God!
So I was.
Oh,
told,
that must be terrible having it. Well, it makes you a good arguer.
Yeah, it does. I mean, it's annoying, but it actually, like in college, I had some professors like comment, maybe you should go to law school because you kind of think like a lawyer. And I was like, yeah, I can't help that, but no, I'm not going to law school. So a lot of lawyers in my family. My sister's one too, and aunts and uncles are, so.
Wow.
Yeah.
So family of lawyers, the Bryants are lawyer people.
Yeah, they're lawyers.
And so when did you know, or when did you think like, oh, I'm going to take this road of music? And what did your parents, were they like, oh God,
really? I don't remember, I mean, this sounds like kind of like cliche, but I don't remember ever wanting anything else. Like, just always grew up singing and performing, and no one was surprised that Jane was going to go to college for music. It was just like, well, yeah. I mean, my poor like siblings were tortured going to every dance recital, musical, everything growing up. So I didn't really start writing until I was in high school. And once that happened, I really saw more of a direction of how my like performance love for singing and dance and everything would go. But they were never surprised by it. And they've always been super supportive of that. So
do you ever model, or are you too short?
I don't. I mean, I've like done random things for friends if they need like, you know, jewelry or something modeled, but no, I don't.
Because you really have such a strikingly beautiful face.
Oh, thank
that
you.
I'd be like, oh, you know, because she's not 5'9", maybe it's not going
to
work.
Yeah, I've never tried to model professionally, but I am only about 5'5", so I guess I don't pass. But
yeah, That's a weird job to have.
Right?
It seems more fun because you look like you have fun doing photo shoots, especially with all the stuff for the new record.
Yeah.
Like, it seems like
so
a lot of fun.
Yes, that's...
And it seems like the sensibility of someone who can portray, like there's a photo of you with all these stuffed animals, mm-hmm. and you have this like look on your face.
Yeah.
It's just amazing.
No, thank you.
And you can slip into character.
Totally.
If you need to.
Totally.
For these photos.
Yeah. So I like having control over like where the direction of the shoot is going.
As a model, you don't have anything like
right.
that.
Right. Like that freaks me out, the idea of showing up to something saying you're going to wear this and we need you to be like this. And it's like, what if I don't want to, you know, I don't,
yeah.
I would like to have a say in the artistic direction that it's going, but I do like have a lot of fun and put a lot of thought into what the photos and the whole look of like each album is going to look like. So this new photo shoot that I did, I was really had a lot of fun with. So
yeah, I can tell. And the EP is a lot more fun than Hourglass.
Yes,
I mean
big difference.
I mean
yeah.
there's a little more levity yeah. in it. Yeah,
I was like. Yeah, I seem like from Hourglass that I'm like some super sad person, which I never have been. But I mean, of course, like all my music comes from something dark and real at times. But I was really ready for this new look to be available. And it's been like, you know, in the making for so long. And I hated that my look online was just like this sad girl in the desert, because it's not like what I am or what my live shows have been presenting in the last year or so. And that it's not that wasn't me at the time, it was, but it was still like I was still discovering sort of like how this rock and roll thing that I've always wanted to portray was going to come into play. And in Nashville, there's it's so like you're either country or you are like singer songwriter sad girl. And so I think I just couldn't really figure out how to tap into like, what if I don't want to be that sad girl, you know?
Yeah.
So because ballads are what come to me the easiest in terms of writing, so and that have been a been crowd favorite, so I was kind of just a little stuck on that. And now I want to incorporate my ballads, of course, but have a little more fun and want people to want to come to my shows and not feel like they're going to be super depressed afterwards. So
it's kind of hard to sell that, isn't it? But I mean, people go see depressed people all the time, but
totally, but
like, hey, come on out and see me be sad on Wednesday.
Right. Doesn't that sound great?
Place. Yeah. It's only $10.
Yeah. So I mean, you'll still like at every show of mine, I'll still bust out a ballad or three, but I pick it back up, so that feels more like me, the balance of it all. So
right. So did you, when you were in high school and you started writing, did you get out and play?
I didn't really. I was so busy at school. Like I played at school a lot, like at town shows, and I was like captain of the drill team and in the musicals. So I was honestly just so involved in that world but I will say I went to Austin School of Music growing up, and that had a huge influence on me. And I was a part of their rock band camps.
Is that how you know Max?
Yes.
Because you guys are the same
age,
right?
Yeah, I'm like a year older than him. But so that's how I met Max and actually two of my band members now. And we all grew up at Austin School of Music going to rock band camps. And I remember like thinking after my very first camp, like that was the most fun I've ever had. I'm so depressed that this 2 weeks is over. How am I ever going to survive? Like I have to do this. So that was the first probably like moment that like the band thing seemed like that I have to do that in some way. Yeah. That was before I started writing and everything. But
who was your do you remember who your teacher was?
I had a few, but my favorite was probably Johnny Vogelsang.
Oh, I love Johnny.
I love Johnny. Yeah. So he and I both teach together now, actually, which is hilarious.
Really?
Yeah.
That's rad. You teach it at Austin School of Music?
I don't, but we both teach it at the Musicians Witch.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I love Austin School of Music.
Is that, that's where Ryan Hawley?
Yes. Yeah, you know Ryan?
I know Ryan very well.
Yeah.
Yeah, we played together for years.
No way. I'll have to tell him. I see him. I saw him this morning. So,
awesome.
Yeah, it's and it's just funny how life works. Like 10 years later, Johnny and I are teaching together and, you know, so.
Wait a minute. Ryan told me about you.
No way.
How long have you been working there?
A little over a year.
Yes, he did. He sent me a thing last year.
What, last year?
Yep, and he said, you need to check out this girl. She's amazing and get her on your show.
Nuh-uh.
He did, I swear. That's where I knew your name from.
That's so cool.
This all makes sense now.
Oh
yeah.
Oh my gosh, I'm going to have to give him a hug.
Yeah.
I was really, like, I wasn't, you know, I hadn't recorded yet or anything last year, so it was hard to see what I was doing. It's a little easier now, but that was really nice of him.
Yeah. So when did Hourglass come out?
3 years ago.
3 years ago.
Yeah.
Okay. So you, this is your first thing in a long time.
Totally. And it's been a long time coming. A lot of life happened between I released our last, like, the month after I graduated college. Like, that summer I recorded and did it all and released it in, like, well, that's not true. I released it in October, but it was recorded right after college.
Right.
And but then since then, which is what, like, 20s and everything is based on, the massive amounts of confusion that come with being in your 20s. And
tell me about that, because I was in my 20s in the late 80s and 90s. And
do you relate to the song at all? I don't know if you heard the lyrics or anything.
No, I do. I do. But now there's there was no Tinder.
Right. Right. Well, I'm not on Tinder. I don't really.
I'm not saying you're on Tinder. Yeah. I'm just saying like the world is a little. It's a little different. I didn't text. You called people,
yeah.
And if they weren't home, you had to leave a message,
right.
And then they call you when they got back.
I wish it was like that. Like, I feel like our society is just so dominated by social media, and there's a lot of benefits to that, but there's a lot of just horrifying things that come with that too. Just so many comparisons and like FOMO, fear of missing out, and I have a song about that too. But mainly,
wait, fear of missing out because you see your friends all at a fucking place and
yeah,
no one invited you. I hate that.
Yeah, yeah. I have a song about that.
I'm 47 years old and I get bummed.
Serious
out
FOMO.
When I see
it's
that
a problem.
Stuff.
Like, and I go out, but I typically go out when I'm like already at a show or playing a show or going to see a show with my friends, and I make the most of it. And then a lot of times on Friday nights, because that's my longest work day, I'm at home, you know, with a bottle of wine and myself. And it's fine. I'm totally fine.
That's kind of 30s of you.
I know. See, you're making it worse. Because then I see all my 20-something friends, like, being so cool at some, like, hipster indie awesome underground party. And I'm like, damn it. Like, well, that's what I should be doing. But I'm not. You know, I'm eating pizza. So that's.
When you say a Friday night, you drink wine and eat pizza, and what do you watch, a movie?
Yeah, like really bad movies, like really
like what?
I don't
the know. Last
like,
movie? What'd you watch Friday?
Oh
no, you were
in
France.
Yeah, I was in France. Yeah. But I don't know. I like have been binging Grey's Anatomy, and it's so bad. Like it's just not.
Oh, it's
good.
Bad. No,
it's so
you know
bad.
What happens? It's weird when you get into a bad show. I had an experience with this recently. And you just can't stop watching
it.
And the whole time you're like, this is terrible.
No,
but as soon as that one ends, you start the next one.
No, I can't believe I'm admitting this like publicly, but I crushed it all. Like in the last like year, I crushed it. Like it's gone.
It's like 25 years of that show or something.
I know. I've watched every episode, sort of. I mean, I put it like in the background. I love noise when I'm doing emails and stuff.
Yeah.
So I wasn't like actually sitting down and doing nothing with my life for like that many hours.
Do you fantasize of one of your songs coming on during like a scene where
totally,
someone's reflecting?
Yeah, because I will give that show credit. They've had a lot of good music.
A lot of good music.
And
yeah.
So many artists have like, I think, broken out through
yeah.
that. So I would like, oh my gosh, if one of my songs popped up, I would be so into it. But yeah, I watched some bad TV. I watched some good TV, but some bad TV. Not a lot of TV though, just
okay.
Grey's Anatomy.
Just enough to melt your mind a little
yeah,
bit.
Yeah, totally.
Do you write and record on your own? Like, are you a self-record? Or do you have a situation?
Nope.
Like
I wish
this?
I did. I have voice memos. That's how I capture everything. I write alone. I've never written a song. I mean, I have co-written, but I don't play any of the songs out or record them that I've co-written. It's just never really worked for me yet. I don't know if I haven't met the right person.
Have you been co-writing for you or co-writing for someone else? Like
both.
When you co-write.
I like helping other people
yeah.
more than I
who
like.
Who all have you helped?
Not
anyone
I
know.
Not anyone you would know, probably. But I really haven't done it.
You
enough.
Never wrote with Max Frost?
I did. What we
oh,
wrote
did?
Once together, and
he's a really good songwriter.
He is, yeah. But
so are
he,
you.
He,
by
thank
the way.
You. But he like his new thing is like making a track or something and writing to that. And he was trying to make one for me at the time, and it was like, yeah, this is really cool, but like this isn't my style. Like I'm not gonna bust out a track at my show and play this song. Let's sell this song to somebody because I like it, but it just wasn't like the right fit for me. So
so you yeah. played with him for a while, right?
I did. So actually my first band that I put together when I came home one spring break or something, my freshman year of college, was Max Frost, Chris Copeland, and Kai Roach, all like Austin School of Music people. So
yeah.
Max was actually like playing guitar for me for like, about 6 months or so when I came back for the summer and everything. And but then I went back to Nashville, and then he like got a massive record deal a year later. And I always knew that he would be successful though, because I've never seen someone's work ethic like his. Like,
seems like his work ethic is over the top.
Yeah. Over the top, but in, I mean, it's worked. It served him well. So
yeah, the guy's great.
Yeah. So that was really, that was cool to watch. Like, he just, like, he just had no fear. Things that, like, would normally really freak people out, or they would never even dream of calling and asking. Like, he called J.J. Johnson to come fill in at a gig of mine. Like, what a joke.
And he did?
Yeah, he did. He was just like, okay. Like, and it was, like, at some random, like, maid service parking lot on South Lamar. Like I don't even know if there was a PA. But J.J. Johnson was playing with me in a parking lot because Max just decided to call him. Really, he just wanted to play with J.J. Johnson, and it worked, you know?
Yeah.
So things like that, I think, are how he got to where he is at his age. But I now still play with Kai Roach and Chris Copeland, and both of them played on my EP, and they are in my band. So
excellent. Did Frenchie play on your EP?
He produced it.
I know he produced it, but did he play anything?
So
there was some weird guitar shit on there that I was like, wow, well,
no,
I
don't
if
think
he did.
I mean, he may have like played like a little bit, but Brian Patterson, who works at the Woodshed with me, he actually did all the guitar work, and I did as well. So it was mainly Brian and I playing, but Brian did all the lead stuff. But
all right.
Yeah.
How'd you get Frenchie to do your thing? He saw you at the All ATX thing and was blown away.
Yeah. So I, last August, I guess, I got to sing in the house band at that All ATX show. And it was like one of the coolest experiences ever getting to work. I love also doing background work. And I got to sing with so many people that I love and perform constantly, you know, at that show. And it was so fun. But the coolest thing was, I got to be in a trio with Ian Moore and Max Frost, and we did the Crosby, Stills, Nash tune. And
what song did you guys sing?
Helplessly Hoping. Oh, yeah. And that was probably the coolest musical experience I've had thus far, because I love singing with other people, especially in harmony, and they were both so great to work with. And that moment, I don't know if you were you at that show?
I wasn't.
But that moment where like the three of us got on stage after all this rock and roll, like got on stage and just like with Ian playing acoustic, like got on one microphone and sang that song, and sounds like braggy, but like we got a standing ovation afterwards, and I was like at ACL Live with like, you know, standing ovation, full house, and it was like this moment in time, like, oh my gosh, this is so cool. Like, I don't know how I got here, but this is a moment I'm never gonna forget. So, but Frenchie was in the audience, and he's good friends with Ian.
Yeah.
And I think Ian or maybe Dave Seabury or somebody introduced us afterwards. And I was looking for a producer at the time. So,
what a great guy you got!
Right?
I love Frenchie.
I know he's
and not just his ability to get sounds and put these songs together, but there's this fucking cheerleader vibe that he has that like is infectious with anything you do with him. His enthusiasm is at this fever pitch, and it doesn't let up.
No,
he is excited about making shit.
Oh yeah, it's awesome. And we both like, I think our energies really worked well together in the studio. So we were just constantly like, "What about this? What if we try this? Yeah, you know." And it was the first time I had ever recorded with friends. Not that the people on my albums in the past haven't been like friends, but they were a lot older than me at the time. I also had no idea who I was.
Right.
And it was just like hired guns that showed up like for 2 hours, and you're like, okay.
Do
like,
you notice that there's a level of confidence that's exuded just in the record more than the other one? I do.
Absolutely.
Too. There's a lot
Thank
of like you're the boss
that.
Of this record is what it feels like more than the last one.
Yes. So like, but you know, it was through doing those last two records is how I got to that point.
Sure, of course, you got
to
get to.
Right, so I don't regret.
Takes time, you're young,
like,
too.
Yeah, I don't regret, like, trial and error publicly, really, because I mean, that's how I'm sitting here now. And I learned a lot through that studio time with the other two albums. But when I got to work with Frenchie, we did so many, like, I thought so much about like examples to give him, and he really, really listened. And like we just knew kind of like what sounds and vibes we were going for. What he knew what inspired me when we got in there. But having like my friends as my band was
awesome.
A game changer. Yeah. Like it was just so fun. And we did the basic tracking like live, and then added all the other stuff, you know, afterwards. But we did three songs in like 4 days, and it was so fun. And everyone, well, the best part was everyone was just hanging out. Like, I wasn't having to pay them to hang out, you know? They were just, they kept showing back up day after day, even though they were their part was done, but they were invested in the project, and that has meant so much to me.
Oh, that feels so good. Yeah. Man. That's a good feeling.
Totally. It's the first time that I really feel like my peers and my, like, fellow players and everything are just invested without me having to convince them to be invested. You know, they're just actually excited about it. And it's like kind of hard to believe, you know, but it's really cool.
How many songs did you have going in to do this EP? Like how did you have like a whole bunch and you had to pare it down? Cause if you've been last record you made was a couple years ago then.
Yeah. I have enough new material for a record and I'm hoping to find the funds to do that like this fall with Frenchie. But I knew that I wanted to do these three songs in particular because I thought that they were all three, like they go well together. They do, but they all three are different. They showcase like some, you know, different parts of my writing style and like and who I am. And I also kind of like wanted to see how Frenchie handled three different things, which he totally nailed. But like he was such a rock and roll guy, I didn't know like how One It With You was gonna go, and I'm like, that's actually the one that I think he's the most stoked about.
That's interesting because after listening to it a couple of times, it dawned on me. I was like, wow, Frenchie's really getting, he's exploring
new
ground as a producer,
right? And I think he was like, I think it was really exciting for him to do something that he doesn't, you know, has a lot of dudes like that he hangs out with at rock and roll, and that's great. And he's obviously been so successful at that, but I don't think he had.
Did Sean engineer it?
Yes. Okay. And sorry, Yayo. I didn't interrupt you. No. Both Sean and Yayo were involved, and
Sean's handsome too.
Yeah, he is. I have a friend, I think, who has a crush on him.
Yeah. His name's Johnny. No, I'm joking.
But anyways, yeah, it was just a great environment from like the Bubble staff to like the band and everything. It was just like unlike anything I had ever experienced.
He's got a good thing going on. I've known Frenchie for a long time. I've known Frenchie for 25 years.
No way.
We've been friends, yeah. We were working at Whole Foods together.
Oh, he told me a funny story about Whole Foods that I probably shouldn't say. But
is that how he used to smoke weed on the loading dock?
Something like that. Something where he was like a janitor or something and like flooded the place or something. I don't remember.
That's probably unique. Good thing that the bubble didn't flood while you guys were there making the record.
Yeah.
And Ian and I went to high school together. And
no,
I did one of my favorite musical experiences ever was being in his band touring like 8 years ago.
No way.
9 years ago. Yeah. It's unbelievable.
Cool. That guy is like so freakishly talented but has no ego. Like was just so... I mean, he has like an ego in a good way, but like was just so.
Yeah, he didn't throw.
He was just like, he treated me like I was a pro, even though like I have nowhere near the amount of experience that he or Max does. And he was just like, he was just so nice to work with and really helpful. So
he's really a great, like a guy that when he meets someone that he likes and digs what they do musically, he's very expressive about it. And he does invest in it. Yeah.
Totally.
The best touring experience I ever had was touring with those guys.
That's awesome.
We had such a good time. Every day was great.
Yeah.
And it was just kind of us. We didn't have a sound man or anything. We were just kind of like slugging it out in that Sprinter. Yeah. It was unbelievable. Do you get out and play with your band and go do stuff? Have you done some
touring or anything? Or
just like shows around?
Oh,
anything?
So the exact band that recorded is the band that I, so far this year, entire year, have been able to successfully have at every show. And right now we're taking a break until the EP release because I'm trying to just sort of focus on that. But this past month we played at a bunch of different things. Stay Gold was probably my favorite with with Kalu. Did joined his residency, and that was really fun. And we played at Lambert's and One to One and Stubbs and stuff this year. So all just in Austin though, because with my job right now it's
stuff to travel.
Yes. Yeah. But I'm hoping to figure out a way to keep my job and travel, you know, in the next few months, because it's obvious, like, this is my priority, but I love my work too, so.
Yeah. Well, you also have to eat.
Yeah,
and
that
sometimes
too.
Going
yeah,
out and promoting a record doesn't make as much money as working.
It's weird, yeah. No one pays me to do this yet, hopefully.
Do you live on your own or do you have a roommate?
I actually live with Jamie Harris, who I heard that you're about to have, I think you said on your last podcast. But
I think at some point she's coming.
Yeah, so she's awesome. And
she reached out recently.
I don't know. We haven't talked. She and I have not talked about this. But I have
never met her.
You haven't?
I don't think so.
She's the best.
That's all I hear from everyone.
Yeah, no, like you have to know Jamie. I'm so glad I know her. I like when I first moved back from Nashville like a year and a half ago, I knew her name around town and seen her like few of the shows that she had put together, and I was like, that girl's like really cool, but there's no way she would like me. And then we met through Brian, my guitar player, was a mutual friend of hers, and we'd hung out a few times. But then in November she was like, hey, I need a roommate, do you want to live together? And I was like, I lived with my parents at the time, but
the line in one of your songs?
Yes, too? Yes, yeah. But I was finally at the point financially where I could pay rent cheaply.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, let's do this. And we've ended up being just we've had so much fun together, and it's so cool to one of my favorite things about living in Nashville and being around that community of musicians is that my best friends were also trying to do this, and it was mostly good. Of course, sometimes it's oh my gosh, I want to meet an accountant so bad, but
yeah.
But
I need a non-self-absorbed, right, complaining asshole. Yeah. All my friends are these. Yeah. That happens to me sometimes.
Right. But Jamie is I had met a few other great girls in town that were doing what I'm doing, but it's so cool to see her on a daily basis, and she works so hard, and every time I hear her upstairs writing some awesome badass song, I'm like, damn it, I want to write a song, she inspires me in the best way.
That's good, and
I'm a genuine fan of hers. I think she's just one of the best songwriters in town.
She's making a record.
Yes, yeah. with Craig Ross,
yeah. Who I love.
Yeah, so I can't wait to hear what they've done. So,
yeah,
yeah, we'll have to have her for sure.
Yeah, it's gonna happen. We just she said that she's making a record, and I said we'll have to come in here when it's done, and that's what's gonna happen.
Cool.
So this show at Lambert's you're doing with Emily Bell, and who was the other band?
Eric Burton,
who I have
not seen, but he's a guy that Frenchie told me about, and I've been seeing around town that people are posting about him, so I'm super excited to see him and glad he's going to be a part of it. So, yeah.
How do you have a boyfriend?
No.
Do you go out on dates with dudes?
I don't.
I was just talking to, do you know Bree Bagwell?
Bree.
She's a singer-songwriter in the Texas country.
I don't.
Era. She was just here.
I don't know her.
But we were talking about how different it is for dudes than it is for girls. After a gig, guys don't come up to you and
That's so true.
It's just weird. There's just a weird.
Yeah, there's a definite stereotype of dudes that play these girls afterwards are just there, you know. But
ready.
I don't really have that. I mean, a couple times I've had somebody
But then when they do, it's super creepy.
It's super creepy. Yeah. But most of the experiences I have are people just come up and they try to start a conversation, but then they just kind of stare at you and you're like, were you trying to say something? Yeah. I don't know. It's weird. It's definitely different to be in so many ways to be a female in this business than it is to be a man. But
The business part of it, do you run into sexism walls? Wow, that was a loud
sexism
clap.
Walls?
Things you can't get past, glass ceiling shit.
Yeah, definitely.
That's
how
do you deal with it?
I'm still learning how to deal with it. The biggest thing I've had to learn is to trust in my talent and trust in who I am, because I've run into problems with people, especially before I really was confident and knew what I was doing, where they were only interested in working with me because they were attracted to me, and that therefore made me, not that anything bad happened, but the fact that you know that makes you question yourself to your core, and it's horrible and it's not fair, you know. And
no, it's not.
And I've run into that problem a lot, but thankfully recently I've worked with so many great people that has not been an issue. But I've had incidences with people that are just so inappropriate of to even go there in their minds, and you find out later that they were going there in their minds, and it's really I went through some hard times questioning myself because of it. But,
sure. That's the shitty side effect of the whole thing is that then you question that you're not good enough and you're so talented.
Thank you. But
that it's a waste to think that somebody discouraged you in this weird way.
Right. And they didn't even know they were, but the way that they kind of degrade you by just letting them know that they're thinking about you that way, you're just what? You know, how is your mind even going there? I thought you liked my songs. But then you realize that those people, you can always catch the red flags. They're not actually talking about your songs. They're talking about what you should wear on stage. You know, they're not actually getting to know who I am or what I want to represent. And thankfully the people in my life that I am working with now, they all know who I am and what I want to do and what I look like doesn't really matter. I mean, if it does, they never let me know, so I don't care, you know. But
yeah. Do you have management?
I don't right now.
A booking agent?
Nope.
And
I have a publicist.
You do?
Yes. I have a publicist, but
oh,
yeah, that's why I'm here.
Yeah.
But
my friends,
yes,
at Juice Consulting, who I love.
Yeah, I love, yeah, I love them. I'm really, really happy.
I'm glad that they're working with you. I think that they're as far as like people that come to me with stuff, they're my app. This is, I'm not just saying this because they're working with you, yeah, and maybe listening to this show. I love getting emails from Heather, Madison, or Amber.
Awesome. That makes me so happy to hear that.
Yeah, I get excited when I get them.
Good.
Yeah.
Well, they're so legit so far. And
totally
like,
legit.
Yeah. I'm really, really happy. Frenchie connected me with Heather, and
good.
I'm super, super grateful. So, yeah, but right now I just have people that are like on my team, but not like legally or officially, you know, in playing any role, but I have some really awesome people around town, including Frenchie and, you know, others that like really believe in me. And so they're like, hey, this person, you should book Jane or whatever. Yeah. You should do this, or this is someone you should know. But so far it's just been me. And right now I like that. I like, cause I'm kind of a little bit of a control freak with all of this. And
that's what I wonder is like in the now era of music, when
right,
people manage themselves and there's no choice, you have to be involved. It's not like 1978 where you could be like, you don't know what's happening tomorrow.
Right.
You know what's happening tomorrow now. Mm-hmm. And I wonder then when someone, after your experience like this, if you did get management, when you do get management, if you'll back off very much at all. Really?
I don't want to. You know,
no,
I want
there's
someone,
no reason to.
No,
really.
I want someone who like appreciates my vision for it and and wants that to not change. You know,
yeah,
I want someone to just take what I'm doing and make it better, you know, and
right,
and see, have the connections and the things that I don't have. And also like it's amazing, like, to be an artist these days, you can't just actually be an artist and
no,
be like down and deep and depressed into your thoughts,
yeah,
and whatever. You don't get to be that
no,
way. Like, you may
no,
have times that you're that way, but you got to get your shit together in order
yeah,
for anything to happen.
Yeah.
So, like, and I kind of go through phases, like, thankfully, this year, like, because I've, like, had this job and things, I'm, like, more in the business sort of mode.
Right, right.
And so that's where my brain is at right now. But, like, I'm not going to go home tonight and get in my inner thoughts and write a song, most likely, because I have to answer so many emails. So I kind of go through phases of like, I'm in manager
that
mode right
yeah,
now. And then my, you know, something will happen in my life that will just kind of force me to write a song, thankfully. But you have to like put on different hats
mm-hmm,
in this day and age.
So. I find that I talk to people about that because since I started doing this show, there like I did two podcasts today. I had to do an intro, put another show together that's coming out tomorrow.
Oh wow!
And all this stuff. But by the end of it, I'm not going to sit down and write the most beautiful song you
no,
ever heard because my mind's just in a totally different
totally,
place.
Yeah, exactly.
But do you set aside time, or do you?
I should. I don't set aside enough time, like particularly at this time of my life, because I work full time and every second I'm not working, I'm, you know, I'm, like I said, doing emails or catching up on
right,
like making sure my website looks
so
good.
So
you know?
Teach full time.
I do.
That's great.
Yeah. I love it. It's like so cool. I'm making a living as a musician, you know, and
yeah,
like I taught a vocal summer camp this morning and it was so cool. And but I normally just do private lessons. I teach guitar, voice, and piano. So,
right. But just think if you got to do one of those rock band camps and you got to be the person, the Johnny V in
right,
someone else's
I know,
life. You know
yeah,
what I mean?
I actually was an intern at Austin School of Music one summer in college because I wanted to be that person. But
yeah,
you, it's really...
So you know like Darren Murphy
yeah,
and Corey
yeah,
Glazer
yeah,
and Chris Gebhard and all those guys?
Yeah, Chris used to play yeah, guitar for me, yeah.
Oh,
so
he did?
Yeah, he's awesome.
He's one of my best friends.
No way!
Yeah,
okay,
all those guys are.
Cool.
Well, I'm in Skyrocket with Darren and Corey.
Okay.
And Rusty, Chris is my
yes,
sub.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Very cool. Those guys are all great. And yeah, so my job keeps me really busy, but it's like really rewarding and inspiring to see what music can mean to all these little people. And like today I hosted like a Rosa, the teacher for this vocal camp that's going on this week, and it was like me and seven other, you know, 11-year-old ish girls, and it's just like really cool to play a role in their lives, you know. And
yeah,
I don't know, I I get inspired to write like girl power songs when I hear like the there's some really great pop music now that has is so female, like go you. And it was so fun, like we turned like Meghan Trainor's new album. I don't know if you've listened to it at all, but I have to at my job.
I have, yeah,
yeah. And
I like Meghan Trainor.
I do too. Yeah, I'm really,
there's nothing wrong with her.
No, not at all. And I've grown to appreciate a lot of this music now that I'm forced to teach it. But
sure.
We like put on her song Me Too and turn off the lights and just had a total dance party. And you know, I think it's so cool that there's music out there now that like is giving girls that sort of like, I can do this, go me, I have power, you know. So I don't know, it's a cool job.
I hope it's not a fad.
I hope so too.
Like, remember like Lilith? Do you remember that era of music?
No.
So young.
I know, sorry.
There was this thing called Lilith Fair that Sarah McLachlan, the singer-songrituer, did. But
yeah,
she's
I know.
Like a
yeah.
Sheryl Crow and Amy Mann, all these kind of people.
Yeah, yeah.
And it seemed like, oh yeah, now they're starting to play women on the radio, because I guess in the early 90s they weren't playing women on the radio, and then this whole thing, and then it was a thing, and then by the early 2000s that whole thing was gone, and it wasn't as cool to be a woman anymore. But
yeah.
How can it just be cool to... I was just at a conversation I was having with Bree Bagwell. She's in that sort of Texas country scene.
Uh-huh.
When they have festivals and stuff, they put one girl on it.
Isn't that insane?
Yeah.
There's so many... What's hilarious to me is like in like in music school and in choir growing up, there was always like 20 times more girls than men wanting to do this. But yet like... there's so many less spots for girls, and therefore all the guys get in because they need a full men's choir. And there's, you know, like how there's so many female Texas country artists. There's got to be. How is it that only one of them makes it into a festival?
Well, there's, it's either her or this other girl named Jamie Lynn Wilson.
But nothing, I mean, not to take anything away from men, because there needs to be a lot of awesome, strong men in these things. But like,
why can't it be equal?
You know, I don't.
I see that thing in like big comedy shows with friends of mine that are comics, and like they'll do that. Oh, there's already a girl on this show.
What?
And like, but there's what? 9 dudes.
Yeah. So like, what is that even? Where's
like
the logic?
Female comedy
that?
Is not a genre,
right? Yeah. It's just these are human
female
beings.
Music is not a genre.
Yeah.
It's still music.
Right. So, but like it's interesting you mentioned Sheryl Crow, because like growing up she was like my biggest icon, like I just worshipped.
That's a good person to, you know.
Yeah.
She plays. She can play her ass off.
Yeah,
she
yeah.
can write her ass off.
Yep.
She can produce her own records.
Totally. Like, and I want to be that. You know, I think it's really cool. She majored in music and was like a background singer for Michael Jackson and others before she had her own thing. And I just have always, I've loved the production on her records. And I like was researching before meeting with Frenchie, like how. Who was it that did If It Makes You Happy? Like, I just got to find the producer behind this. It was her.
That was her.
Yeah.
But it was Trina. I tried to get Trina to make a record. Trina Shoemaker was the engineer on that,
I think.
Oh,
really?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, she's amazing.
Yeah, that's so cool. So, it makes sense behind all of these songs.
There's not a lot of women engineers.
No.
Or producers. Like, in Skyrocket, our live sound engineer is a woman.
Oh, that's awesome.
And one of my favorites in town is a woman. Do you know Chris... I'm drawing a blank on her name. We went to college together. Anyway, great sound person.
That's awesome. Yeah, there needs to be more, but I don't.
Do you think there's something about like unappealing, just the way that we are brought up in our sex, like male or female, or in our gender, I should say. Do you think that because engineering school is not appealing to most women? Like, hey, do you want to go to Full Sail and learn how to record?
Nope.
Like,
yeah.
That's why, do you think?
I don't think that they would know it was an option. Maybe.
Why?
I don't know. Because I guess maybe it hasn't been marketed in a way that they
right, I guess so.
I don't know. But I don't... I think there's, like, things that women are told, like, this would make sense for you to think about doing in life, and I doubt anyone.
Your
like,
parents never put parameters on you.
No.
And our society, well, it does, but it's invisible.
Yeah.
You know, they make you think that you can do what you want, but when you try and go and do it, you really can't.
Yeah, no. I was really lucky. Like, but there's also, I think we're called like the yuppie generation. Is that the word I'm thinking of?
Yours?
Yeah, because like there's problems with the fact that we've been told our whole lives that like you can be whatever you want. And so people have this serious entitlement issue.
Right.
And I saw that so much in fellow musicians in Nashville, especially, and here too, where it's like they think like, well, I'm so awesome. Like, how does everyone not already know that?
Oh, yeah. It's like when you watch American Idol and somebody is a terrible person in their audition. They're like, you don't even know.
Right.
I'm amazing.
Like, what makes you think
they're so stupid?
Yeah. And even if you are, like, you do have the best voice or whatever, like, who cares unless you are, like, first of all, a good person. And second of all, if you're going to be willing to work for it, because it's not just going to come to you. And I have seen issues where, like, I have seen a few people where it has just come to them, and I don't understand how that's even fair or whatever.
But it still doesn't work unless it doesn't. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and it's also like a flash in the pan. And
Prince was that good, but he still worked 24/7.
Totally. Yeah. So my dad told me when I was, or maybe it was my mom, I don't know. They both told me when I was young that hard work beats talent when talent doesn't work hard. And I have found that to be so true. There were all these like Belmont celebrities and people that like had incredible voices or, you know, performance, you know, whatever. But it was the ones that were like willing to put themselves out there, willing to like just be so vulnerable with it all and mess up in front of everybody. And just
people that get there early and stay late.
Yes. And just work constantly. It never stops. Like, this isn't a job you clock in for. Like, it never stops. And unless you're willing, and like people that also have a direction and what they want to say and what they want to write about and everything, it was those people, even if they weren't technically the most talented, that are doing something now. And they don't feel entitled. They don't feel like everyone, like that they're doing everybody a favor by being there, right? You know? So I don't know.
I think you're doing people a favor by being there. I think the world needs more people like you out there. Seriously.
Thank you.
I'm not joking. I think that you're incredible. I think that your 20th EP is fabulous. I think that the work that you and Frenchie did together is amazing.
Thank you so much.
Someone here?
I don't know.
Oh, you look like they were. It's getting hot, isn't it?
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah.
I'm starting to sweat.
Yeah, I like it. It was so cold last week that I don't want to complain about it being hot right now.
No. So what does your summer look like after Lambert's, after the EP comes out?
Good question.
And after the Lambert show.
I'm having a hard time like seeing life past that because there's so much I have to do until then. But, you know, I'm not seeing, I think I made the mistake with my last album. I was like thinking like, well, once this comes out, then I'll know what to do. And it's like, or something will happen. And I'm not really, it's just a stepping stone, you know, and it's one I'm super proud of. But like, I know that there's like going to be so much work afterwards, I hope, and more shows and more opportunities. And it's just, you know, I just was so ready for everyone to see like what I've been working on now and see this new sound and look that I'm going for. And we'll see what happens. But I'm, you know, I'm not putting any sort of like unrealistic pressure on myself. I just want to keep doing what I'm doing and I want to do it more, you know, so.
Yeah. You should. You should be allowed to. You're a great talent.
Thank you.
You
so
really
much.
Are. I was really blown away, and really this record is incredible. It has a lot of, it feels good, and it feels like it can do something.
Thank you. That means a lot.
Yeah.
I hope so, and I'm really excited. I don't know if you've seen the music video that's coming out.
No.
Oh yeah. So there's a video that we did, and actually this is kind of why I recorded back in November, but I wanted this video to come out before the EP comes out, and it is going to in a couple weeks. So, but it's the 20 song, and you'll just have to see it. I'm excited about it. It's pretty funny, and I hope people find it funny. But it took a lot of my friends and I coming together, but we just basically portrayed what the song says. So,
are you having fun then?
I'm having so much fun. Yeah,
good.
I mean,
your life, like your daily life, like you're in a good mood.
Yeah, I mean, like, of course there's always, like, personal stupid things that, like, make you feel down sometimes, but
What was that thing you taught me? FOMO?
FOMO, yeah. Fear of missing out.
Yeah.
It's a real thing.
Sorry, go ahead. You were finishing something.
I mean, I have, like, of course, days like anyone else where it's, like, you know.
Not great. Well,
yeah. But but overall, I've discovered that I'm the happiest when I am doing what I'm supposed to be doing. Like, I'm focusing on my work and my art, and I'm doing it full-heartedly, and I'm getting a good night's sleep, as like stupid as that sounds. But the times that I'm unhappy are when I'm falling behind on what I know I'm supposed to be doing, and I'm making like dumb decisions with people that don't care about me, you know? So like right now I'm in a time of life where I'm like, I have no choice but to be focused because there's so much to do between now and July 8th. And that is therefore making me really happy. So
yeah,
something to remember, I guess, as I go on and all this. But I'm having fun. Probably not as much fun as I should because I just answer emails a lot. But that's okay.
Well, you'll have time to have fun.
Yes.
If you're having fun with what you're doing,
It is fun.
Like, if
yeah.
the music is fun, then you're living and having a good
time. Yeah, and I know, like, when the shows happen and stuff, that'll be a moment of, like, let's all cheers and go out and have fun and celebrate this. But I go to bed at night thinking, like, I feel good and I'm having fun, even though it, like, to most people it would probably sound, like, super boring. But it's exciting to me, so.
Yeah. What are you going to do tonight?
I'm going to go home and answer emails.
Okay. No wine and pizza with Jamie
Maybe.
Harris?
Well, and actually, Jamie and I are really into coloring. Adult coloring books are the bomb.
Oh, yeah. Did you? I saw you posted this thing, like, for your 25th birthday. You got a bunch of coloring books like this.
Yeah. It was so embarrassing. Like, I literally was like, I just want to go. Staygold is one of my favorite bars. And I was like, I want to go eat the mac and cheese at Staygold. Yeah. And I want to color. And I love going out, but like bars where I can't hear myself think are like not where you're going to find me. So, yeah. That's why I like Staygold, but, and they have those big tables. So literally like all my friends just came and showed up and a lot of them bought me coloring books and we all just colored for like 4 hours at a bar and it was awesome.
That is awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm actually having a coloring book made for my merch.
You are?
Yeah.
Oh, that's
really
awesome.
Excited. Yeah, it's like a 20-something theme, like cartoon Jane, you know, being hungover or whatever. So I'm excited. I hope people want to buy it. I would, but maybe it's just me. But I probably will color tonight.
People would make fun of me, I think, if they caught me at Staygold outside coloring.
You don't know Jane that? If you owned it? If you're like, book. No, this is what I'm doing. This is cool.
Oh, I'd own it.
Yeah. I mean, they make some hilarious coloring books. Like, Jamie got me the most hilarious things for my birthday. She, I don't know where she found them, but like, there's like a swear word coloring book and just all kinds of things that make you feel better about yourself. So,
well, when do you think you're gonna have t-shirts and stuff?
I'm working on it. The coloring book is what I was most excited about, so that's what I like, you know, put my energy into. But I'm hoping to have at least one t-shirt and like stickers and stuff, but I wanted to do things that I felt like people would actually buy. I never really, maybe, I'm sure people do, but I don't ever really buy t-shirts at shows. But if someone has something else that's like a little different and unique to like what they're doing, I'm like, oh yeah, I'm going to buy that just because it's different and works for that artist. So
yeah,
I hope people feel that way about it.
Cool. Well, this will be coming out the Tuesday before your record comes out.
Okay, cool. I didn't know that.
So, yeah. So everyone get out on Friday. If you live in Austin, go to the EP release show at Lambert's Friday, July 8th, along with Emily Bell and Eric Burton.
Yes.
When you said Eric Burton at first, I was like, you mean from The Animals? No.
Oh, no.
No, obviously not. He's like a 90-year-old dude.
Yeah, no, it's not.
And he's, sorry, but he's way more famous than both of you and Emily.
Yeah, no. He's not showing up.
I don't think he lives here. Get out there and pick up the EP. You can get it on Friday, I'm sure, at iTunes.
Yes, Spotify.
And you're going to make it available on Spotify and on all the places. People should try and get out and pick up a physical copy at the show if they can.
Yes.
And is there anything I'm missing?
I don't think so. I think that's pretty much my life.
Thank you for coming, and also thank you for dealing with the time change.
Oh, no big deal.
The time change. Thank you so much.
I'm so happy to be here. It's really been so much fun. So.
Well, good. Tell Ryan, Holly, and Jamie Harris that I said hello.
I will.
And all the gang at Juice Consulting.
I will. Thank you.
Powerhouse, Jane Ellen Bryant. Her EP 20s comes out this Friday, July 8th. She's also having an EP release show at Lambert's this Friday, July 8th. Go to JaneEllenBryant.com for finding out the things that you need to find out for getting this EP for you. For what? For you. That's what. All right? I want to thank her for coming by. It was great talking to her. I want to thank my friends at Juice Consulting for setting it up for us and them being so understanding when I had to switch the time. No problem. No problems orchestra, this Jane Ellen Bryant. Fantastic artist. Great person. Great hang. We had a great conversation. I hope you enjoyed it. Get out there and pick up her EP, 20s. And if you live in Austin, go on Friday, July 8th, to Lambert's for her EP release show. All right? The EP comes out on Friday. Go to JaneEllenBryant.com for all your Jane Ellen Bryant needs. And hey, listen, while you're out there looking up stuff for Jane Ellen Bryant, you can subscribe to this podcast on iTunes. And you will get a new podcast every Tuesday, every Friday, 2 shows a week. All right? And then also, if you don't want to fill up your phone or your device with a bunch of podcasts eating up your memory, You can subscribe to us on Stitcher, which allows you to stream over 30,000 shows right to your smartphone or pad. All the great shows, NPR, the best in science, sports, comedy, entertainment, news, all kinds of stuff. Get out there and check it out. Stitcher. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio. Let's hear the rest of the song 20s from the fabulous Jane Ellen Bryant from her amazing EP 20s coming out this Friday, July 8th. Pick it up. Thank you for listening. Have a great day. Let's get down.
Your best friend's getting married, and she swears that she's ready. And you can't find a date. You're stuck talking to people you hate, and they ask how you been, what's your job, where you live. You say you just moved back in with your parents. You're feeling confused.